All right, everybody stand up if you would. We're doing Throwback Sunday, and we're doing over 40-some years. I've been doing my most requested sermons, and this is the most requested sermon I've ever had that I've ever done. And in fact, more pastors have asked me to use this sermon than any other sermon. And I was at a conference one time. I was going to preach at this guy's church, and I was about to preach, and he came up to me. He said, I've used your Eagle sermon, so don't use it if you would. I said, okay. And so it's been used a lot of places around the world. And I started to call this for the birds, but it's not. It's the Eagle sermon. And we're doing Throwback Sunday. I didn't use the scripture, but in Matthew, there's a scripture that says a steward brings out old and new. And so I'm doing this. Next week, Ben's going to be preaching, and so he'll be doing probably the last one of the Throwback series. And but Proverbs says, the three things are too wonderful for me, four I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the sky. And imagine the writer of Proverbs speaking about an eagle. Says the way of an eagle in the sky. So let's talk about the eagle. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We ask you to open our eyes to nature. And you created it. There's nothing, Lord, in nature that you did not create. So, Lord, all things can teach us. We love you. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. When Solomon, you can be seated. When Solomon was given wisdom, the Bible says he was not just given wisdom about spiritual things, but about animals. I mean, he had all these proverbs about all these different animals. You should read about them. I mean, all the things he talked about. And when you read the Bible, it does speak about that we're likened to many things in a race, a wrestler, a soldier, sheep, salt, or, you know, light, on and on. But also, when it begins to speak about it, it speaks and says, Jesus likened us to, you know, he said, go study the birds. If you're worried about your finances, if you're worried about what you're going to put on, clothes, go study the flowers, look at those a little while. He said, it doesn't make any logical sense that God would so clothe the grass that's here today and gone tomorrow, that he would feed the birds. It doesn't make any logical sense that God wouldn't take care of you. And so one of the keys about studying animals is you learn a lot about God and his faithfulness and all that he did. How many know that God made some strange animals in this world? You know, there's one monkey that he's got a big orange spot on his butt. You ever seen that? I mean, all he's got is a big orange spot on his butt. And God did it. Come on, somebody. God did that. So there are things you can study and really learn from that would be very advantageous. And so we're going to be studying Isaiah 40 says it this way. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait on the Lord. The word wait can be used as a waiter at a restaurant. And I hope you are kind to waiters in restaurants and not, you know, wow, they went and got their food. I was here for it. They got their food before me. And I was here before they were. And you're so slow. And you got this. I asked for tea. You gave me coke. Right. Come on, somebody. You don't know what kind of morning they had or life they had or week they had or weekend they had or what may be going on in their life. And, I'll be honest. You just got to, so everybody say some grace. Give some grace. And so, just waiting on somebody, you know, there's a big difference. I told my wife, when I say I'm leaving the house and she's leaving the house, there's a big difference between those two concepts. When she says she's leaving, it may be within the next 5 hours that she's going to be leaving. When I'm leaving, I've got the keys in my hand. I'm ready to lock the door and get out the door. That used to be horrible because when we were little. She used to, you know, really, in Sunday mornings especially, she'd get the kids, all them ready. I'd be ready to roll, you know, because we lived a little bit ways away at some point. So then we got two cars. Everybody say, thank God for two cars. And you got two cars, and life is real good. But the word wait in the Hebrew means, listen to this, the word wait, they that wait upon the Lord, it means to bind together, to be assembled with. So the word wait, those that bind together with the Lord, those that assemble with the Lord, those shall renew their strength. So I want to talk to you this morning about the eagle. We're going to talk about some characteristics of it, and then we're going to pray together and that'll be the end of it. The American eagle, let me give you some, can fly over 75 miles an hour. When it dive bombs to go grab an animal, it can fly over 100 miles an hour when it's going down. Eagle's eyesight is incredible. At the elevation of more of 1,000 feet up, it can see for 3 miles. And in those 3 miles, it can see a rabbit blink. How many got that good eyesight? Anybody else got pretty good eyesight here? It can see a rabbit blink of elevation of 1,000 feet at 3 miles. It's got a 270-degree peripheral vision. Eagles' eyes are not fully developed when they're first hatched. Inside their eagle's eyes, they have a series of these tissues folded into pleats, and each pleat contains a fine network of lymph tubes. And listen, these lymph tubes are they're full of lymph fluid, which is electrolytes, and that means that it's affected by the magnetic pull or the magnetic pull of the like a compass is. And so these tubes, though, are not adjusted rigidly until they get older in life. And what happens is they begin to be fixed when they get older. They begin to be fixed and rigid toward in relation to their nest or where they were born. And what happens is an eagle really doesn't migrate unless there's a food source has gone out. But otherwise, it doesn't migrate. And it always has this pull back toward home. That's why it's so important that those of you that have young kids, always, the Bible says, raise them up in the way that they should go. And when they grow old, what? They will, no matter where they are, they'll always feel that pull back toward the things of God. That's why I've learned in my life with our kids. You got to see, you got kids or grandkids, where it may be. Now we're having a chance with our grandkids. And because we know this, it's not just some little nursery lesson I'm teaching them. I am putting things into them that literally it will make them, whatever happens later on in life, they will never feel comfortable until they're back with the things of God. They may go out and do this, but they will never feel at home until they're home. Come on, somebody. So we begin to teach them these things, put it within them, infect them. Third thing, almost always eagles will not eat anything that's dead or stale or rotten. You know, a buzzard will, you know, circle for hours to make sure it's dead, rotten, and stale. But an eagle doesn't do that. An eagle does not eat what it finds. It finds what it eats. And it'll eat a squirrel, eat something fresh, a fresh fish, whatever it may be. And eagles are very particular about what they eat. And if you're going to be an eagle Christian, you've got to learn this. You've got to stop the nonsense that you don't think what you eat will affect you spiritually. If you think you can watch an R-rated movie one day and read a scripture the next day and be okay, you're living in a dream world. Jesus said, be careful what you hear. Why is that? Because it affects your heart. It affects your mind. You've got to be careful. You can't listen to junk and then expect to be healthy spiritually. You've got what you eat affects what you are. And so the Bible, when you've been to eagle Christians, they don't eat anything that's dead or filthy like that. Because their diet is so lean and so protein that literally an eagle looks like a weightlifter. A small waist, come on, all the 40 and above guys, come on, small waist and a physique body, and he looks like a weightlifter. And literally an eagle doesn't need a runway. An eagle, if you study them in Alaska, they just launch themselves. They'll just be there, and next thing you know, they just launch because of the strength that they have. Because of this power of physique, the eagle, he doesn't need a runway. He just takes off. And the eagle is one of the only creatures that has the ability to fly in the second heaven. The first heaven is from sea level to about 10 to 15,000 feet. And then above 15,000 feet up to about 30,000 feet or so is the second heaven. Paul spoke about above that. He said, I was caught up into the third heaven. And when you begin to do that, when they literally when you get around to 20 or 25,000 feet above sea level, not only does the air get too thin to breathe, but it also becomes so cold. The temperature drops so much. If you've flown anywhere, flown some of the high plains, you'll see they'll give the temperature outside sometimes of what it is and the speed outside. But what happens is this, eagles have air pockets built into their lungs. They have the ability to catch air and then go up to the second heaven and breathe out of these air pockets. There was an article in the Dallas paper about a Delta airline pilot. He was flying about 27,000 feet, and you ought to see this article. All of a sudden, a salmon slaps the windshield. A salmon slaps them. So they go to this long, protracted investigation to find out what's going on. And the only thing they could conclude was that an eagle was up in the second heaven flying, got startled by the Delta flight, and dropped the salmon, and it hit the windshield. Come on, somebody. They fly at altitudes that other birds cannot fly at. Eagles do that. They utilize currents of the wind and not available at lower altitudes. There are currents in the atmosphere that's in the higher planes. They're not available to those that do down low. So eagle Christians yearn for the high altitude. They don't flop from tree to tree. They don't hang around with buzzards and turkeys and all that. They lay fly in the upper atmosphere. Eagles soar alone quite often. Most of the time you'll find eagles in the second heaven is during a storm. Unlike if you ever watch Bambi. You watch Bambi when the storm hits. You remember when the thumper is trying to get under a rock somewhere and everybody's hiding away and scared. Well, eagles are not like that. Eagles, when a storm comes, they're not afraid of the storm. In fact, Alaskans, some of the Indians in Alaska say that they watched this and they saw when the sun's been in a certain place. And it's like the eagle goes when the storm hits. The last place he saw the sun, that's where he launches. And he begins to just soar upward. And because of his strength and because of his courage, he breaks through that last layer of clouds. And if you've ever been on a flight and been flown that way where you've come down and it's been storming and raining, and then a plane just keeps going up and up, and suddenly when it breaks through that last thing, that eagle begins to dry off. That eagle begins to soar in the heavens. There's something about that you know, if you've got to get to the place in your life where you don't let storms and problems get you down to where you mully grub and get in the pity party. Because God wants some Christians that are willing to step out and not be afraid of that stuff. Let everybody else hide under rocks. Let everybody else get down and mully grub how bad life is. You ought to just lift your eyes up the last time you saw Jesus. Take off and flow. Come on, somebody. So there'd be that time in your life. The eagle is the only creature that has, one of the only creatures that has the ability to look straight into the sun. It has two eyelids that it closes. And when it closes that second eyelid, it has the ability to look directly into the sun. And that many times when it's fighting, in fact, it has one of its biggest enemies is a condor. The condor can weigh about 35 pounds, a 10-foot wingspan. And they always come and they attack the eagle. And what the Indians say in Alaska, you got to watch this. The eagle many times will never stand and fight. What it does is it just takes off straight toward the sun. And it has the ability to stare straight into the sun and fly directly toward it. And at some point, those condors can no longer fly that high nor look in the sun and withstand the sun. Come on, next time the devil attacks you, instead of getting down and telling everybody how bad it is, you ought to just lift your wings and head toward heaven. Come on, fix your eyes on the Son of the living God and head toward heaven. Because, listen, it's time to get out of the mully grubs of this life and experience the presence of God. Come on, somebody say amen. We're living, listen, one of the good things is if you're living lukewarm and you know, all this and that, wishy-washy, and you're into this and you're into that, and you have no problems in your life, well, yeah, great deal. But listen, one of the things I've learned in my life, the only reason I'm going through what I'm going through is there's a mark on my life. God's got something for me. There's a calling on my life. The devil's trying to take me out when he can. But I've learned this in my life. When I get down, I say, you know what, there must be something about my life. Job, when he looked back in his life, the only reason the devil attacked Job was there was a man, he was unlike any other man on the face of the earth. And the only reason he went through it was not because of sin, it was because there was a call on his life. He loved God, he loved his family, he was serving God. And so when he came out the other end, the Bible says, behold the patience of Job, how God, the goodness of God ended in his life. So when you go through these things, you got to get off of that stuff of what's wrong with me, what's happening with me. Stop saying I'm nothing. Listen, much is in the hand, much, little is much in the hands of God when God's doing it. You know, when you begin to do that, when it begins to fight and all that begins to take place, the storms come, the eagle actually challenges them. The Indians say the eagle doesn't look at you, an eagle looks straight through you. If you've ever looked at a picture of an eagle, it's not looking at you. The eagle stares straight through you. And it challenges a storm, the brilliance. Eagle has the ability to lock its wings. They say that an eagle is so strong that its wings will break before it bends. They will lock the wings, and then every turbulence that it hits bumps them up higher. You ought to let that in your life become like that. Instead of letting all these little problems get you down, and you ought to just lock your wings and fix your eyes on Jesus. And when the storms come your way, let them bump you up higher. Don't get stuck down in the mully grubs. Set your face steadfastly. Eagles spend about an hour or more a day preening themselves. They pass their feathers through their beak and they exhale hot air as they do. It's like a steam cleaning they do. And one of the keys about life is you've got to learn how to cleanse yourself. Because all of us are going to see things, hear things, be a part of things that we need to get out of our system, get off of us, shake it off of you. And so what I've learned to do is, you know, when I, in the end of the day, I don't want to take stuff home. I go through a cleaning process. The Bible says the washing of the water by the word of the living God. You got to learn. I don't know how many of you have ever gone to work without looking in the mirror, really looking in the mirror. And you ever got there and said, you might want to straighten your hair. You might want to, you go there. You sit in the mirror. I remember one time I didn't go, and I put my hand just like this, and when I looked, I had grease all the way down my arm from one end to the other. How many know a mirror can help you with that? And the Bible says the Word of God is a mirror you need. You need to get up in the morning. See if you're a little bitter. See if you're a little, you know, see if you're a little. Remember that story was, it says, Lord, so far today, I've not been bitter, not said one hateful word, not done anything, but I'm about to get out of bed. Come on, somebody. I need help. So when you begin to do that, so, and I like Deuteronomy 32:11. It says about the eagle this. Deuteronomy 32:11 says, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them on its pinions or its wings. Watch this. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest. The eagle mates for life, like the dove. When they mate for life. And the Bible says that the eagle builds its nest to last a lifetime. Indians, Alaskan Indians, say they live a lifetime to watch an eagle build a nest. It's unbelievable. Said those eagles, they just don't go find, you know, some little tree limbs and twigs and all that. They will fall into trees and rip limbs out of trees with their talons. And they will build these nests that can weigh up to 1,000 pounds or more. And but the amazing thing is that after they get that, here's what they do. They line those nests with either a mink, a fur. Come on, somebody. All the women say amen. They line those nests with a mink, a fur, some kind of. They'll catch a mink. They'll catch a fox. And they will strip the hide and literally put those hides in that nest and on and on. And eagles don't migrate. They stay the same place. There's a number of things that they look for. The Indians say that literally, unlike Louisiana, that there's other places that has mountain. You know what a mountain is? A mountain is those tall things. You that live in Louisiana may not know that. They're tall things that's bigger than, you know, the bayou. And so they look for a ledge, but the Indians say many times you watch these eagles, they look for a ledge that has been storm after storm has hit. Because they want a place that's solid. They want a place that's withstood the test of time. They want somewhere, and they said eagles will build that. Let me tell you, there is a place in God that has withstood the test of times. That's been here for ages after ages and decade after decade and hundreds of years after hundreds. And it stood the test of time. And you can let the newest technology and the newest, you know, thinking come and roll. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus is still the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And it doesn't matter what religion takes place, whatever takes place. He'll always go to the mountain where the region, where the eagles, listen, they don't like to build. They don't build nests in the valley where the turkeys and the buzzards and all the rest lie. It looks for a rock ledge, like I said, that's been tested by time. And they'll begin to build a nest. And the eagle seeks out, as I said, a fox or a mink and begin to line the inside. And one of the greatest enemies that they have against their nest are snakes. Well, you know that. These snakes, they'll climb up and the Indians say that literally that eagles have an inborn hatred of snakes. And they'll kill them two ways. That they literally will pounce on them with their talons and then with their beak tear the snake apart. Let me tell you something about the enemy. Listen, he doesn't care what you know about field and stream or about good housekeeping. You can quote all that stuff all day long. The only thing that will affect the enemy is the word of the living God. You've got to come to a place where you can say and speak the word of God. And listen, you've got more than just say, well, what did Pastor Terry say something? Well, what? You need it in your heart. You shall know the truth. And the truth will set you free from any bondage the devil tries to bring your way. Jesus in the wilderness, the Bible says all that he could have done, he said, it is written. You shout out, it is written, it is written. You've got to get to the place where you learn how to defeat the enemy by the word of God you've got in your heart. You can't have it on a card, you can't have it in a Bible. You need it in your heart. Put it in your heart and stand against the enemy when he comes. The second way he does it is that the eagle will grab that snake and just take off and get as high as he can get, and then he'll find a big rock and drop that thing right on a rock. Come on, somebody. And the rock we've got is the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, he's already defeated the devil. Why don't you do that in your life? Everybody say amen today. Now, soon after they build the nest, these two eagles have mated. I'll tell you how they mate. The way they mate is they will fly up together, and then they will wrap, the male eagle will wrap his wings around the female. They'll fall straight out of the sky. They'll go back up, they'll do it again, and this time the female will wrap her wings around. Listen, what goes around comes around. Come on, somebody. And they say before they hit the ground, they'll mate. And before long, an egg appears in the nest. Guess what's in the egg? An eagle. You produce what you are. You can tell your kids all day long whatever you want to tell them. They will become like you. You use Tide detergent, they'll use Tide detergent until their friend talks them out of it, you know. They'll do all that. Remember the story about the woman, this guy had a wife, and every time she cooked a big ham, she cut both ends of it off. She sliced both ends of it. And finally he got up, he said, why are you slicing both ends of the ham off? And she said, because my mama did. So next family gathering, her mom was there and said, Mama, why do you cut both ends of your ham off? She said, because my mama did. And finally the day when she got around Grandma, he said, Grandma, why do you cut the ends of... She said, because my oven was too little for the ham. Come on, somebody. And some of you are cutting yourself short. You don't even know it. So listen, you've got to learn this. My kids become what I am. See, my two kids didn't become what I said. They didn't sit there, well, you know why Pastor Terry's kids turned out so... Because he preached every Sunday. They heard everything he said. How many know if what I said here didn't work over yonder, my kids wouldn't be what they are? Because my wife, you know why? Because they become what I am. If I don't go to church, they won't go to church. If I don't read the Bible, they won't read the Bible. I don't care how many times I tell them. They become what you are. They'll become like, so let me just challenge you to do that. The male eagle, I like this, the male eagle, because at times when the egg is being had to be set on, the male will go get food, and then sometimes the female goes gets food. Guess what the male does when the female go gets food? Sets on the egg. How come when every time a female's gone and the male's at home, we say he's babysitting? What devil in hell brought that term up? He's babysitting, like he's doing the wife a favor. Like this isn't, he didn't have anything to do with these kids coming to the world. All right, let's go on. Before long, the little egg hatches. Guess what comes out the eagle? Guess Junior is arrived. And I don't know, I've got to tell you this, I've got to confess it, because I confess it to God, I have lied so many times, because I've had to go to the hospital and see newborn babies, and I've had to say, oh, aren't they gorgeous? Don't they look, I'm telling you, some of them were ugly as mud. And that is the honest truth. Now, they're beautiful now, but I mean, when they first come out, their head's crooked, they're bald, I mean, they hadn't straightened out yet, and all this stuff, and you have to sit there, and you have to lie through your teeth. Mm-hmm, oh yeah, beautiful. All right, now that's all other, everybody else's. That's none of your babies. That's everybody else's babies. Never thought that about any of your babies. No, right. All right, so you know when you see a baby eagle, it's a mouth with a little bit of flesh hung to it. And that's what a baby bird looks like. And so they begin to come, and they begin feeding it. Now, let me tell you something. But long before Mr. Gerber, ever started making his little, you know, things, let me tell you how babies were fed. The babies were fed with the same thing mom and daddy ate on the table. But the way they were fed was mama would take what's on the table, she would put it in her mouth, and she'd start chewing it. Some of you were fed that way. Some of you are still fed that way. They would chew it. And then at some point when she had that stuff massive, she would take it out of her mouth, and she would stick it in baby's mouth. Some of you are going, ew. You know what that is? That's love. Because they didn't want that baby choking. They didn't want that baby. But that's how they fed babies back in the dinosaur age. That's how they fed babies. And because, let me tell you something. When you are busy feeding the young, you don't have time to gossip and to backbite and to worry about all this and that. You're feeding the young. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of mamas in here. You know, this morning we were helping, Jen had gone to youth camp, and they came back early this morning to get the stage, and so we were helping with the kids over there. Listen, when you're busy, how many know life is very busy when you've got kids at home? I don't care, you know, till they, and literally, you're feeding them, and you don't have time to do a lot of the stuff you would normally. And I tell people, when you get busy feeding young Christians, you won't be backbiter, you won't be a gossiper, you won't be complaining about, you'll be too busy ingesting the Word of God. Come on, somebody. I learned this. You know, one time the youth group, they had a scavenger hunt, and one of the scavenger hunts was, go find one of the pastors of the church and make him recite the Ten Commandments. I remember, and they had a video camera going. They knocked on the door. Pastor Terry, can you say the Ten Commandments? I think I got seven of them. Come on, somebody. I got 7 out of 10, what I remember getting on the videotape. But you're too busy. When you're feeding people, you know, Christian, you know, some of them will ask you, Well, what about this and what about that? I remember my first counseling case when I was back. I was 21 years old, 22 years old. That a 70 or 80 year old couple came in. They wanted to talk about their sex life to me. I was single. I'd kept myself. I'm sitting there thinking, beam me up now, Scotty. Just beam me up anytime. And I remember when they got done asking me all these questions, what they ought to do, I said, well, let me pray about this week. We'll meet next week. We'll talk about that again, which we did. But you learn. And when you begin to feed young couples and young Christians, they'll ask you questions you don't know. You don't know everything. You say, well, listen, I'll think about that. I'll research. And it gets you studying and eating and sharing and giving. And so you can do that. And that's what young mothers do of birds like that. You cannot feast on the Word of God and complain. You know, the second thing is soon the eaglet begins to be big enough and bigger than a nest. And mama's watching Junior grow. Daddy's watching Junior grow. And one day, mama and daddy realize that Junior is too big for the nest. And here comes a point in life. Because when these mama and daddy eagle are watching this eaglet, they come to the conclusion at some point that this eaglet now is big enough to do what it was born to do. That it's had the fur, it's been in the warm fuzzies long enough, and that it is time now for this little eaglet to do what it was created to do. Deuteronomy 32, it says, like an eagle that stirs up its nest. What it does is when they stir up, that is the time when mama and daddy eagle realizes this, it's time for this eaglet to do what it was created to do. Mama comes down to the rock where Junior is, and Junior, you know, and she begins to flutter her wings, and she does that to drive the eaglet out of the nest. So he forces him out of the nest. He begins to walk around on that ledge. He might look over the ledge a little bit. And as he's doing that, all of a sudden, Mama Eagle does something that he doesn't understand. She grabs that fur with her beak and slings it over the edge. Shoal. Junior is not appreciative. Junior is looking at Mama. What have you done, Mama? You have messed up my playground. Instead of the warm and fuzzies, it's not comfortable here anymore. Life is not as easy as it used to be. There'll be some point that God is going to bring and get you out of your comfort zone to where you're going to wonder, God, what are you doing? God, why? God, why? It was so easy. It was so fuzz. I loved it. It was fantastic. How many would like to live the rest of your life on a mink stole, just laying there and have Mama feed you? I mean, just feed you every day of your life. Mama comes down, begins to throw it out, and literally, they say sometimes they'll even cut up the nest. But Junior gets back in that nest. You can imagine that first night Junior climbs back in the nest. He lays down, and he can't quite put his claw on it, but something's different. Come on, somebody. And he realizes he's being poked. He's being prodded. He's being stuck where he'd been so comfortable before. He'd been so warm before. Now it's cold here in this nest. And literally, he's about to make an awesome discovery. He's literally learned that, listen, it caused an eaglet to have to stand up. And what it's doing is it's sharpening its claws and it's strengthening its legs. And the things that happens in our life, the little eaglet learns to its claws are growing stronger, and the baby eagle doesn't realize it. But listen, what he is learning, it's hard, but he needs to learn what he's learning. It's not easy, but he needs to learn. And listen, God will do that with us. Because when you first get saved, everything was fantastic. Every prayer you prayed, everything you whispered, everything you did. And then at some point, the rug is pulled out from under you. You're out on a limb. You don't know what's happening. And it's God deciding, not us, God deciding, it's time to do what you were created to do. Well, I'm not going to make this thing. I thought God is supposed to be easy. I thought I was supposed to get saved and, hallelujah, pump grapes and play the harp. Listen, God is doing something in our life that he's committed us to be what we're to be. And Deuteronomy 32:11 says, I love this, it says, she flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, and then catching them, bearing them on its wings or pinions. And what it does is this, she flutters the wings and many times either the eaglet will get on the back of the mama and she'll flutter her wings, he'll climb out, or she will knock him off the cliff. Junior freaks out. That is the art of state of losing one's mind. He freaks out. You talk about an accident. If she puts him on her wings, they say that eagle will take off, and you can imagine off that cliff, and this eaglet is hanging on for dear life, commanding, in Jesus' name, take me back to the rock, in Jesus' name. Mama does not respond to that positive statement. And then they say what happens is that eagle will flip over and drop that eaglet. You talk about an accident waiting to happen. And they say, you ought to watch this. I love this. This flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them. That eagle, they said, when that thing is falling, that eagle will fall with it. And at the last moment, catch that eaglet. Can I tell you, you can't fall faster than your God can fly. He travels on the clouds. You may be in a free fall. You may be like, I'm in a free fall this morning. You can't fall faster than your God can fly. You can trust him. You talk about freaking out. He looks and he's going to crash and got mama picks him up. Listen, when it begins to happen, she'll take him back up and do it again. And the Indians say when they watch this, that mother eagle, that father eagle is there squawking. Quack, quack. That means fly, an eagle. Fly, fly. And they said it's the most amazing thing to watch that first time that young eagle spread its wings and catches that first wave. I'm going to tell you something. God has made you to fly and not to hop from tree to tree and be on the mully grubs of this life. You are, if you want to be an eagle Christian, born to fly, what's it mean? You're going to raise up, the Bible says, that you're going to spread your wings out. He said you're going to raise up like eagles flying. And so if you hear the voice of the Lord today, I don't know where you are in life, but I'm going to tell you, God will bring you to the place where he's going to take away the comfort zone out of your life. It's going to be hard. I thought being a Christian meant everything was a glorious day. Oh, really? What Bible are you reading? All that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Paul said, Paul wrote in Romans, says, through tribulation worketh patience. Patience worketh experience. Experience worketh hope. What Bible are you reading? What Apostle Paul are you following? Because all I read about is he lists one time everything he'd gone through. I've been beaten this many times with rods. I've been in the deep. I've been in the sea. I've been all this. He's all these. Blah, blah, blah. He said, but none of these things move me. You know why? Because he spread his wings when he hits a turbulence like the eagles do. It just makes him go up higher. Come on, somebody. Instead of getting down to mully grub pity party, saying how bad it is. Oh, you know, what have I ever done? Now look at this. Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, to all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit. Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, an eagle, the first 5 years of his life goes through change after change after change. His eyes change, the color of his feathers, his beak, all this stuff. And then yearly, it goes through a molting process where the eagle looks haggard and tired and old. But then it will go through a molting process where literally it renews itself. An eagle will live anywhere from about 40 to 50 years. Can you imagine? 40, 50 years it lives. And it outlives many of the birds and appears to renew itself continually. And I'm going to talk about four things in closing in about 5 minutes, just a page apiece. And let me talk about four areas that the eagle renews itself in. I want to challenge us today. First one is it renews itself in its sight. The eyes, the sight of an eagle go through a renewing process year by year. And I won't go, you can tell you that on your own. But we, listen, we need the eyes, we need to renew our eyes of faith. You need to get away at times and let the Lord renew your vision. You know, the Bible says, Moses, seeing him who was invisible, endured. You know, there's sometimes you got to get your eyes off the mully grubs. Get your eyes off the, I like to call the nasty now and now, and lift them up and see the sweet by and by. You don't live there all the time, but you've got to do that at times. You got to renew. You got to see him who is invisible. You got to know he's real. You got to know he's not just some religious club you're coming to or some denomination you're coming to. But you know the living God and you see him. And the Bible says Moses endured all that he endured because of that. He could see him. One time he took his disciples and they were outside the city of Samaria. And he said, go get us something to eat. They go in to get something to eat. While he's there, there's a woman at the well. The woman at the well, he goes through this process. You know the story. And she finally realizes who he is. And then she runs into town to tell everybody. At the same time, she passes the 12 disciples coming out of the town. They have, you know, bologna and no, they don't have bologna. They have, you know, they're Jews, all right? They have meat. They have all these things they're going to eat. And all of a sudden, while they're eating, while they're about to eat, they're about to sit down and eat, they're fixing it, suddenly this crowd comes out of the city. And it's the same city that they just came in. They just went in themselves. But now this woman went in, and she's bringing half the town back with her. But they didn't bring nobody. All they brought was beef and some hummus and all that. So they just brought all that. That's all they had. And Jesus looks at him. They said, come and eat, Master. And he says, I have food to eat that you know not of. And then he says this to him. He says, why don't you lift up your eyes? Lift up your eyes off the mundane. Lift up your eyes off your work. Lift up your eyes off your school. Lift up your eyes off just going out. Lift up your eyes and look at the harvest. You went in the same town and brought nobody. Look at this woman. She went in with a different set of eyes, and she brought half the town with her. And he said, renew your sight and work tomorrow. Instead of seeing all the work people, and you know, there's Tom over there. Don't get near Tom, you know. There's Jane. Begin to lift your eyes and look at them as a harvest. Begin to see them as potential brothers and sisters in Christ. Let the Lord use you. Lift up your eyes and see the harvest. It's wide unto harvest. The harvest already needed to be reaped. So the Bible speaks about they renew their sight. Second thing is they renew their fight. Yearly, the eagle has talons that are razor sharp, but he keeps them sharp. His beak is sharp. He continually hones that. There's a renewing process that takes place. David said, listen, let the weapons of your warfare be continually sharp in your life. I don't know if you understand, but we've already talked about that. You've got to know the Word of God to fight. The devil doesn't care how many programs you can watch, how many TV series you can tell about. Only thing the devil responds to is the Word of the living God. You've got to keep your weapons sharp. You've got to keep your weapons. Renew the weapons. Go through there. Understand them. The breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit. An army, if you're in the army, you continually have to clean your weapons. You continually have to oil them. You have to make sure they're sharp, they're loaded, they're ready to go. You've got enough ammunition. How much more the army of the living God? You've got to know your weapons. And so every year, renew that, your fight. And the third one is your might. He renews the might. The eagle receives its might by the food that it eats. If it eats anything, you know, is of good report. You know, you ought to listen to that. The Bible says, if anything is good report, anything of good, they think on these things. What do you think on every day? I'm mad at so-and-so. I'm upset with so-and-so. I'm doing this. I'm doing this. I don't. What do you think on every day? You want to strengthen your might? Think on these things, Paul said. Think on the things that are good. Get the Word of God in you. Let it begin protein in your life. Your attitude determines your altitude. Your attitude determines your altitude. You can be in the mully grubs, you can be all that, or you can lift your eyes up and look on the one who saved you. Listen, be renewed day by day. And then the last one this morning, out of time, is flight. Isaiah says, we shall mount up with wings as an eagle. Sometimes, listen, it gets old, the daily grind, 9 to 5, paycheck and bills. You need to lift your eyes sometimes. You need to learn to soar in the heavens. You need to enjoy God. I mean, there's sometimes you think I'm wild. You got to see me sometimes at night. Man, I've got music blaring, going. I'm dancing, loving God. I don't care. You're not there. I'm just me and God. Come on, somebody. I just learned to soar with the Lord. There are heights that you know nothing of till you get there. And then you think, man, I thought I was just here. And here's another height. Here's another height. The Bible says from glory unto glory unto glory unto glory unto glory. God can teach you, lead you, guide you. But listen, you cannot do this on your own. Do you want to fly like an eagle? You want to mount up? You want to know what it is to mount up with wings and fly? There are times in your life when the frustrations account and it builds up. I love this little statement. It says, what's it like to be an eagle and fly? What's it like to leave the nest and soar the sky? I want to know just how it feels. And today I know I will, for there's something telling me I was born to fly. Every one of you in here was born to fly, not to inhabit a nest, not to hop from tree to tree. You were born to fly. Put everything out. Everybody stand up this morning. Put everything away this morning. I want you just to get ready. Just stand up. Sometimes we need to stay, just stand in the rays of the sun of the living God. Like this morning when you come in here together and you just felt the presence of God. That's not just some little thing you did that, just kind of excites you for the moment, some emotional. No. Don't let the devil lie to you. It is a strengthening. It's the renewing of your faith. It's renewing of your life together. It's changing you. It's bringing you to a new level. The devil will do everything he can to keep you from the Lord's presence, whether that happens on a Sunday or during the week, whatever it may be. And it matters. It matters. It matters what you hear. It matters what you watch. It matters that. And so this morning there is a call for those that want to fly. There's a call that maybe the comfort zone has been taken away and you're at a place where you're very uncomfortable, very uncomfortable. But you know what it is? If you will trust Him, when He flutters the wings and He brings you out and you're about to fly and you've never maybe flown in that kind of way, and God's about to do something in your life this morning. God wants to do it in your life. And so there's things that God wants to do. So, Father, this morning I pray. Father, I pray for the renewing process, that their strength would be renewed like the eagle, and they would soar with wings as an eagle, as they wait, bind together, gather together with you. And this week, Lord, that you would take them on adventures that they have never experienced, things they don't even know about, Lord, things, heights that they've never even experienced. But Lord, we fix our eyes on you. We set our eyes on you, Lord, the author and the finisher of our faith. And this morning, I thank you for that one. Maybe you've never experienced the initial renewing. Maybe you've never really given your life to God completely. And you don't really, if you really had to be pinned down, you would say, I don't really know if I'm saved or not. Well, listen, today's the day. It's never easier than this right now, what God wants to do in your life. Oh, cheap. Oh, no. It cost the Son of God His life. But free, and absolutely free to us. The Bible says freely have we received. Freely have we received. But I don't deserve it. Yep, we'll join the crowd. None of us deserved what we got. None of us deserved to be forgiven. None of us deserved to be the child of the living King. None of us did. But that's the beauty of salvation. He doesn't give it to those that deserve it. He gives it to those that wants it. So I'm not asking you whether you deserve it. I'm asking, do you want it? Do you want to change? Do you want your life to be? Do you want eternity? Do you want God? Do you want Jesus in your life? Do you want that? Do you want it? Well, then it's for you. All that are thirsty can come to the waters of life and drink. That's the key. Are you thirsty? Not whether you deserve the water. Are you thirsty? So if you want it, if you're thirsty this morning, if you had enough of this world, you had enough of how you lived your own life on your own, how's that working out for you? And you're ready to turn your life over. I want everybody to help. Maybe you haven't prayed, but pray with us. Just pray after me. And everybody's going to pray with you and so we can help you. Say, dear God, today I surrender my life. I've messed up. I need help. Come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Change me. I surrender my life. Thank you for dying in my place and shedding your blood for my forgiveness. I surrender all. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Give the Lord a good clap offering this morning, would you?